So tonight we're launching into our first week of this new teaching series called Suit Up. And that's our first slide here. And over the course of this next few weeks, we're also going to hear from some others from our pastoral team. We have Claudio coming up from Victoria. He'll be with us as well. And Darren as well will be speaking. So I've got one more Sunday, and then I've got a couple Sundays to sit where you are and come on, preach it, bro. Let's go. Come on. Talk to me now. So I'm looking forward to it. So here's what we'll be learning over the next 4 weeks. We'll be unpacking and uncovering spiritual warfare, Holy Spirit, angels, demons. I know. We're gonna talk about it before Halloween. Is that okay? We don't have to wait for the world to talk about ghosts and goblins. We're gonna talk about it before they get there. Here's why this is important for us to learn, because what you see in the physical realm, friends, what you are seeing in your physical world is not all there is. Okay, the Holy Spirit breathed scripture, what we call the Bible today, and first verse that we're going to read for you. If you have your Bibles with you, if you don't, your iPhones, we'll have it on the screen for you as well. But it's Ephesians 6 and 12 we're going to kick off with. It says, we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. So let's lean in to see and hear what Holy Spirit is saying to the church through this teaching series over the next 4 weeks. And some of you might be asking at this point, is this where this church gets weird? Well, just a minute. Ushers, you want to bring in the snakes? We want to handle some snakes here. Just kidding. I don't know. Some of you are just about ready to jump out of your seats and run. No, we're not going to get weird. It's okay. That's not even funny for some of you. I know. I'll never do that as long as I live and lead. I promise you. I don't mind snakes. Stephen's not here tonight. He hates snakes, but you know, I like snakes in the zoo on the other side of the glass and watching them, you know, tongue sticking out, whatever. But in church, no, I don't see any place for them in here. So let's jump into this episode one of our series, Suit Up, and let's take a look at some real supernatural issues to find out how they do play into our natural. So how does the supernatural play into my natural world, right? The very world that we are living in and working and playing and studying. So now as we venture to talk about these supernatural things, and in my opinion, there's two very common mistakes that we see that I think that churches or churchees or people who are faithing might often make. And one is that we could have an overemphasis on the supernatural things to where, you know, we are so focused on the demonic world that everybody sees a demon behind every single bush looking to jump out and scare you, right? Overemphasis, maybe. Incident, flu bug, it's the devil's after me again. I've got a sniffly nose today. It's whatever, I stubbed my toe. Ooh, the devil got me there, right? And if something bad happens, it's like, oh, Satan's after me, right? There's an overemphasis of the supernatural sometimes. You know, that kind of deal. Or you get in a car wreck and you're blaming demons when actually you were texting and driving, right? And weren't paying attention, okay? I don't want to blame it on the devil, but you were texting and driving just like me sometimes. And I'm, like I said, God help me. I need some redeeming going on here in my texting habit when I'm driving. Could it be Satan, right? Or sometimes people will do poorly on an exam and they'll say, well, you know, Satan blinded my mind and I wasn't able to see. I was foggy. And maybe he did, but maybe it was that you binge watched Netflix for several hours or several days before your exam. Taking some responsibility, overemphasis on the demonic or the spiritual world per se. Mixing in our host culture's paranoia, maybe. But on the flip side of being demonic, we'd be seeing faces in people's faces, or maybe the face of Jesus in moldy bread or in the trees or whatever it is. And it's like, woo, I saw Jesus today. Maybe, right? An overemphasis maybe in some ways too. But I'd like to also offer this for free. Nor do we desire the Christian cultural gift of suspicion either. Anyone ever walked in a gift of suspicion? I know I have. So I'll just be right up honest with you, because I know a few of you have too. So we're in this together. We're asking, God, come help me. We want your spirit to lead us and guide us, right? There just might be an overemphasis in our life of the supernatural is what I'm talking about. And then on the other hand, there can also be, like I said, there's two things that happen. Overemphasis, there can also be an underemphasis of the supernatural, depending on your crowd or even on your YouTube algorithms, right? And I would say that an underemphasis is probably even more common today in our church world than overemphasis. Underemphasis is more popular, it seems to be. in our churching, in our faithing. And that's when people might say, you know, I'm not even really sure if there's a devil or if there's a spirit world or if there's, I just don't really know. I don't want to talk about these things because it just gives me the heebie-jeebies, right? Not really sure what to do with that when you hear things about the supernatural world, ghosts and goblins and supernatural things that maybe go boo in the night. Not really sure what to do with it. And so I believe it's important over the next few weeks that we try to get a biblical perspective of the supernatural and the spiritual world. Because guess what? If we don't look at scripture, guess who's going to inform us? The loudest voices in our life. And I tell you what, we're living on an island, on an island that's super spiritual some days, right? And if you allow your host culture to inform your spiritual practice, you just might be barking up a supernatural tree that has nothing to do with God or Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So that's why it's important we talk about these things. Flush them out. So we're not going to get all the answers tonight. Probably won't even get all the answers even throughout the series, but it's important to start exploring and talking. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to take a broad view of the spirit world. And then next week we'll dig in and deal with the reality of the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then the third week we're going to look at what do demons do? And then lastly, we're going to look at angels. What do they do and how do they actually play into our lives? I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. So today, let's begin with opening our Bibles again, paper or digital. Here's a scripture I want to take you to as well. It's 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 4. It says this. This is what the Bible says, scripture. So for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. So though we live in a physical world, tangible, touchable, right? There is another world beyond what we can see or feel. There's a spirit world. And in that spirit world, there is actually a war that is raging. There is the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. And they're at war, like Star Wars, but worse. Or better, one of the two. And when we engage in the spiritual battle, we don't fight with the weapons of this world. We don't fight with nuclear bombs and machine guns and grenades or tanks, with physical or verbal violence. Instead, what we do is we engage in this battle with prayer. Amazing. Prayer by faith and what? Using God's word. We're going to talk more about this in a few minutes. So we choose prayer. That's what we do as a church. We sometimes forget to choose prayer first, and we usually let it be a last resort in our lives, but it's actually the greatest tool that you have to fight the battle that you're in. And we're going to talk about this battle because some of you don't even know that you're in a battle for your soul tonight. So we want to talk about this. And in this battle, there's a very real spiritual battle going on. So it's important to understand this then. So how do we battle then? If there's a battle going around, how do we participate? What's my role? What do I do? And what do I wear? And how do I? Scripture says this about how we battle in Ephesians 6 and 10 gives us some insights to this very question that we're unpacking here tonight. Scripture says this, finally be strong in whom? Help me out, friends. Bible says, finally be strong in the Lord, right? Who helps me out, right? Whose power in his mighty power, it's his power. You are not strong enough to win this battle, by the way, in your own power or on your own strength. You don't have enough strength. Scripture goes on to say this. So what? Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against what? So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So not sure if you know this, but you have a spiritual enemy. And his name is Satan, according to scripture, we find out. And guess what, friends? He hates your guts. He really does. He hates you and everything about you. He's an enemy of everything good and perfect. And what he's doing is his mission is what he's planning and what he's plotting and what he's scheming, scripture's saying, is to hurt you and to maim you and to destroy you and everything that you love. So what do we do? Paul, the pastor, teacher, author, apostle, writing to the church in Ephesus, he writes this. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes, right? Verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood or humanity. It's not against people, the Bible's saying here. But instead, it's against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, in the areas of life that we may not be able to see. Sometimes we can sense, but with our naked eye, we might not see it. If you have a battle in your marriage, in your relationships, in your finances, in your sexual urges, friends, your battle's not against other people. Your battle's not against the government. Your battle's not against a party, a political party, the NDP or liberal, whoever you might be fighting against, right? Your battle's not even against Hollywood or Bollywood or anywood. Your battle's not even against Facebook and Netflix even. Your battle's not against people or the people behind these organizations. If you have a boss, let's put it that way, and you say, I have a boss from hell. Or for some of you, maybe it's a neighbor from hell. Ah, your war is not against flesh and blood, friends. Your war is not against humanity. Friends, your battle's against the powers and the principalities of this dark world that's ever present around us. But if you had eyes to see, and that's what we want to know, and that's what we want to experience. What you see is not all there is. We have to learn this important principle that what we see with our physical eyes in the physical world is not all that there is to see. There is a whole other world. There is a spiritual world that is just as real as our physical world and even more powerful than what takes place in this physical world. What you see is not all there is. Now, in this moment right now, you might see a pew that's padded, a platform, a building, there's people around you in this room, but there's so much more going on around you and I tonight that you might not be noticing. If you had eyes to see that there is a spirit world and the forces of good versus the forces of evil that are fighting, friends, for you. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And I want to help somebody embrace this very real truth that what you see with your eyes is not all that there really is. There's more to it. And even, you know, from the beginning of this year, we talked about, God, we want to experience all that you have for us. And some of us think that just means we're going to have a new car and a new house and a new girlfriend or whatever that might be, right? But God also wants you to understand the spiritual warfare that you are actually walking in that you maybe not have never noticed before. There's more for you to understand. There's more for you to grow and there's more for you to mature in your faithing and in your walking with Jesus. So just as we begin to venture out of this next 4 weeks out to understand that there's another world and a spiritual world that's just as real, that influences our physical world, that influences your life, that influences your decisions, that influences everything around you. Now, we learned a couple important principles from Scripture already. And in fact, if you're going through a battle even right now, if you're struggling in some of these things I mentioned earlier, you've got something that you're going through that's really difficult to go through, that you're experiencing. You need to remember this, though, also, that you are not alone in your battle. You're not alone, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not alone. If you're baptized into a body of Christ, you're not alone. You've got friends and loved ones and brothers and sisters who got your back, sis, who are walking this out with you. That's why it's important not to do life and ministry alone, because someone's got to have your back. God's with you, but someone's also watching out for you too as well. And that's important. You are never, ever alone in your battles. In fact, there's an interesting story recorded in Scripture in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6 and 15. It tells a story about a time when the nation of Israel was at war against the king of Aram. And there was a servant who was in dialogue with one of the ancient prophets, the ancients, a guy known as Elisha, one of our favorites for some of us, a man of God, right? So 2 Kings 6:15 says this, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the next morning, he got up and had some coffee before his boss got out of bed. He noticed the next morning an army with horses and chariots. See, there was an army encamped against them that wanted to destroy them. And they surrounded the entire city. And the servant says, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? This man was just about freaking out. I'm going to die. He looked out and he saw these enemy forces everywhere, surrounded by them, right? There were horses and there were warriors and war paint and drums or whatever else might be going on. All sorts of troops. And he was looking like going, we're so dead. We outnumbered. This ain't going to work at all. They're everywhere, right? Some of us feel like that sometimes, don't we, in our spiritual walk with God? We come out of the tent in the morning, like, oh my God, this whole world is upside down. Well, oh man. But if you had eyes to see, friends, let's look at this even further. He goes this, when Elisha, they're everywhere and we've hardly any. And when Elisha prayed, says this in verse 17, oh Lord, open my servant's eyes, open his eyes that he might see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around this man of God, all around Elisha. See, God gave him a glimpse into the spiritual world in that moment. A glimpse. And he realized that God's angels and warriors were there already and everywhere. He was not in this battle alone like he thought they were. It's just the two of us, boss. Because there's another world, friends. There's a spiritual world. And I want to remind somebody in this moment to remember that there's so much more than your eyes can see. The reality of the spiritual world teaches us another important principle. And this one's about prayer. You need to recognize, friends, that your prayers are far more powerful than you know. That's why we say it all the time. You need to choose prayer first as your first response every time you have an opportunity. Don't let it be your last resort. Because there's power in your prayer, and there's more power than you understand. There may be times when you pray and you feel like nothing's happening. Anybody in the room, you don't have to put your hands up. I'm going to hear one. We've all been there probably. You prayed and nothing happened. And you prayed again, nothing happened. So then you wait 3 weeks and you gave a squeaky prayer, nothing happened. You waited a month and you're like, forget it. God's not even listening. There may be times when you pray and you feel like nothing's happening in your life, but recognize that your prayers are so much more powerful than you know. There's a great example of this from the Old Testament scripture. That's the portion of your Bible that starts in Genesis and works its way up to Matthew. One day, a guy named Daniel, one of my favorites in scripture as well, Daniel, was praying. And guess what? Apparently nothing had happened or nothing was happening. Then one day, a messenger, an angel, came to deliver this message to him. And this is the story is recorded in Daniel 10 and 12. Let me show it to you. This angel who came with the message, she says this, don't be afraid. I love it when angels show up and they're like, don't be afraid. I can't imagine what they look like because every time they show up, they say, don't be afraid, right? Pretty amazing, I'm sure, pretty scary. Probably, don't be afraid, right? So what's he saying? Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and you humbled yourself before God, your request has been heard. And someone needs to hear this tonight. The moment you prayed, your request was heard in heaven, by the way. You have been heard in heaven. From day number one when Daniel prayed, God heard the prayer and God was already at work in the spirit world, sending angels and dispatching whatever he dispatches in heaven. Even though Daniel didn't even know it, the angel went on. He says this, he's like, I've come in answer to your prayer. And here's what he explained in verse 13. But for 21 days, he's explaining, here's what, I'm an answer to your prayer, but for 21 days, friends, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. So he's telling a little story about how hard it was to come. Then Michael, one of the archangels, he came to help me. He came a backup, right? And then I left him there, and Michael said, you go on ahead. And I left him there, he's fighting and duking it out with the spirit world. With the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain. So he's still fighting for you. And I'm here to explain what's going to happen to you and your people. Can you imagine this? Daniel prayed and as soon as he prayed, God heard his prayer. and released his angels. And for 21 days, they actually did battle against an evil spirit on the behalf of that prayer of Daniel. When Michael, the archangel, appeared, he was there and he was able to hold off this evil spirit so that the other angel could go to Daniel and say, God has answered your prayer, Daniel. 21 days there's a battle going on in the heavenlies. Because you need to understand, friends, what you see in the physical world is not all there is to see. There is a battle going on your behalf when you would dare to open up your mouth and pray before God and see him. You might not see it, but when God releases those angels and dispatches those warriors to do battle on your behalf, you might not see it. But God is at work. There's a very real battle going on right now. And our battle is not against flesh and blood and against all those people that might just be irritating you or whatever is your boss, your neighbor, your finances. We have a spiritual enemy, we do, and his name is Satan, the grand old devil. And what does he do? Well, he does a lot of things. But today we're going to look at five specific things that I want you to write down because some of us are unsure of what the devil is up to. And I think if you can learn that what he's up to actually impacts you and has an effect on you, if you're not paying attention, you just might learn how to do some spiritual warfare tonight. Is that okay? So five things from scripture that your enemy, the devil, does. The first one, if you're taking notes, is this. Number one, Satan, he loves to blind the minds of unbelievers. He loves to blind the minds. Now, for example, right now in this moment, there might be some of you who might say, you know, I believe in Jesus. I'm not quite sure if I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm not sure if I really want to be one of his disciples, and I don't really get all this stuff. And some of you might say, I'm not even sure if I believe in God even. Like, I know I've heard about Jesus and these stories, and there's so many other gods in the world that people talk about. And others might say, well, I definitely don't believe in God. Can't you see the world around us? It's chaos. If there was really a God, there would not be any of this chaos and hurt and pain and sickness and suffering, all that fun stuff. Well, right now, as you hear God's word and as it's coming to your ears, for many of you, it might even be hard for you to pay attention. You know, sometimes we're thinking about, you know, having peanut butter and pickles, or your mind's going to be wandering. You're like, I got to make some banana bread. Oh, such a great Father's Day. Oh, man, that steak. Oh, whatever it is. Sometimes our mind's wandering in the moment. You're going to be thinking, you know, hey, I've got to take out that butter for later. I've got to take out the trash. Tomorrow's trash day. That's what's going on. That's what we're going to do. And what's happening sometimes in this moment is Satan is trying to blind your mind, distract your mind. He's trying to stop you from hearing truth in your life because he knows that if you hear and if you experience the truth will actually set you free. Did you know that? And so what does the devil want to do? He wants to stop your brain from hearing truth, stop up your ears and stop up your mind from hearing truth because truth will set you free. He doesn't want to walk in freedom. No, he wants to keep you in bondage and in worry and distraction, trapped by all these things. I don't be thinking about anything about God. I'm so busy in my mind and my life. And Satan's trying to blind the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians says it this way. The God of this age. Now that's little g. Say it with me. The God of age, this age has done what? Say aloud, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. He tries to blind our minds, friends. Why? So that you do not hear the truth. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make sure that you're deaf to the word of God. You're deaf to the truth in the word so that you could actually walk in freedom. That's what God has designed you to walk in, right? So the second thing that he loves to do is he loves to steal God's word from you. He's trying to do everything he can to rob you of God's word and God's truth. For example, some of you might be able to relate to this. Sometimes I can. There may have been different times in your life where you would have heard something about God. You were in, and maybe you're on TV and you're listening to a preacher. You're at church or you're with a friend and you're sharing the word of God and you heard some things. It's like, wow, that was so good. Or, you know, and it's like, I want to take that home and I want to process it. It did something inside of you. It kind of made you feel alive again. It piqued some spiritual curiosity. Maybe, you know, I got to go research that and look deeper. You were kind of spiritually leaning into the things of God for a moment. And you thought, hey, maybe this is real after all. And maybe this is good. And maybe I need to embrace this. And then you get up from your seat and we go for ice cream. I love ice cream. Or you get up the next morning, right? The next day, and all of those spiritual thoughts, those aha moments, those, ooh, I want to embrace this. Ooh, that's awesome. Ooh, I love that. I want to write that down. And you didn't bring your paper and pen. And you get up in the morning and they're gone. Those thoughts, those, what you experienced and felt, it's, life goes back to normal and you're wondering, whoa, something happened. What was it that happened yet? What was said? I don't remember. I remember feeling something, but I don't actually remember what God was trying to say to me. I can't even remember what it was. I think it's important. I thought maybe I would go in that direction and boom, it's gone. Where did it go? Why did it vanish? Jesus tells us this in Matthew 13 and 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, who shows up? Would you say it aloud with me? The evil one comes. And what does he do? He snatches away what was sown into this person's heart. He blinds the minds of unbelievers and he steals away the word of God. And a third thing that the devil loves to do, he's an expert in this because he's been around for a long time studying human beings. He loves to set traps, to ensnare you, to trap you. He wants to trap you with distraction. I would say that this is the most common trap that I see many people fall into in our local churches is distraction. Distracted by pleasure, by wants and desires, need for more money, my sexuality and sexual urges, right? My offenses, can you believe it? They sure distract me. He also wants to trap you beyond distraction, but he wants to trap you into a dangerous lifestyle of very, very destructive sin. He wants to trap you, friends. That's what he's doing. He's looking for an opportunity to ensnare you. And you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. If he can't make you bad, what does he do? He makes you busy, right? Distracted so that what? You can't even pay attention to what God's trying to say because you're so busy up in your mind and whatever it might be that you're distracted by. Super busy. And you know what? Here's another one. It might even look super spiritual. You all, your busyness, right? The devil wants to distract you from what God's trying to do in your life and say in your life. And sometimes the distraction prevents us from growing spiritually, maturing. Because the seeds that God is seeding into your heart and seeding in your path through his word, through what we call even the foolishness of preaching per se, through spiritual leaders that he's placed in our lives and reading of the scripture of the word of God is being robbed. The seeds of the very word of God choked out of our lives by whatever these things might be. And this is why it's so vitally important to be prayerfully in the word of God, to be actively present in your local church body and that you've been planted in and baptized into, to be in a city group, friends, with other Jesus followers. Because the bad news is, and guess what? You won't even have to get on Facebook for this bad news. This is free. There is a very, very real enemy, friends. An enemy who is setting traps for you. Because you are the prey. He's trying to snare you. You are the one that he's trying to trap. Satan's always on the watch, the lookout, to hinder the word of God in your life and the impact of the word in your life, to blind you to the understanding of this good news. Have you ever noticed this, that if there's any point of vulnerability in your life, some area in your life where there's a weakness, we all know of them, that's something that always seems to find you, it seems, to tempt you, to fail in that weakness. Maybe it's with doubt. It could be just as simple as doubt for that provision that God wants to bring in your life. Maybe there's FOMO, fear of missing out. Oh. Maybe it's lust for something or someone else in your life. That desire maybe for instant gratification, there's one that we all wrestle with. Like if you're trying to leave your party lifestyle behind, guess what? Guess who shows up on your doorstep with a keg of beer? All your friends. Because you've just been trying to leave that lifestyle of partying and whatever else. It's the way it works, right? It seems. Maybe you're trying to purify your mind and your thoughts, and the next thing you know, on before bed, you're flipping through your Instagram, and some images pop up that tempt you to dwell on that image a little longer than normal, or to respond back to a DM that maybe you don't even know them. Those kind of things. Where does this come from? Leading to lustful thoughts. Maybe you've had an issue with leadership or a boss or a parent in the past, and you've been trying to work on a new attitude, but your boss or your parent just offered some wise instruction, and now you've got this choice to make. This is life. This is what we walk through daily, friends. Maybe your story is different and a little bit different, but every one of us are walking through areas of life where the enemy's trying to trap you, trying to distract you, trying to rob the seed of the word of God in your life. If you're trying to get out of debt, maybe some of you, they've all of a sudden Facebook, bang, they've got, oh my God, they've got an amazing sale on jeans at the Hudson Bay. I don't have any cash, but hey, I got a credit card. Right? You know, it's just, this is the way it works. And your enemy is actually trying to trap you and keep you stuck in financial bondage. Everything has a spiritual impact in your life, friends. Everything. Even what you ingest in your foods is a spiritual impact in your life. Every little thing that we experience, touch, taste, smell, occupy, walk in, do, has a spiritual impact. And wherever you are weak, that's where the enemy has been watching to try to sneak up and attack you and to trap you in that weakness. Friends, you are in a war, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. What you see in the physical realm is not all there is. Here's how it's explained very clearly in Scripture again in 2 Timothy 2 and 26. It says, and one day they will come to their senses and they'll escape from, what is it? What are they going to escape from? A trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do what? His will. His will. Not to do the will of God, right? But to do the devil's will. Satan wants to blind your minds. Those of you who do not believe or walking out in a faithing existence with Jesus. He wants to steal God's word from your life, the seeds of the word of truth. He wants to set traps for you and ensnare you into a lifestyle of destructive sin and broken habits. And the fourth one he wants to do, he is also always fighting to stop you. He fights to stop the work of God in your life. For example, if you get a vision from God to do something, you watch how Satan will try to distract you, to derail you, to block you. Now, you may even hear some good teaching and think, okay, we need to be good stewards now, and we need to get out of debt. Okay, let's work on this, right? We're going to get out of debt, and the very next day, your car explodes. Or your rental gets beaten up. It's an attack. It's a distraction. It's an attempt to ensnare and distract you into to steal God's word of truth from your life. Maybe you go home and you decide, we're going to have a great marriage. You went from a marriage seminar and you're all in love again. And we're going to pray together. We're going to read the Bible together. We're going to be all about Jesus. We'll have a great marriage together. And on the way home, honey, we're going to have a great marriage. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose in your marriage in the next couple hours to days to weeks. And you have the fight of the decade. Have you ever been there? Again, you don't put your hands up. But I know some of you have. I know I have. You have good intention, well intention, but the devil is hearing everything that you're saying, watching every move that you make, every place you go, every Facebook post you like, and he's doing everything he can to devour you, to kill you, to destroy you, to distract you, to rob God's truth from you, to get you off whatever path that God has you on. Maybe it's, I can't wait to worship with my church today. And you're driving to church and I'm speeding like me. I speed to church. Oh, I can't wait. All of a sudden the boss calls, hey, I need you to come to work. Woo! I have a choice to make. Maybe you decide, I want to share my faith with my friend. My next door neighbor is so loving and awesome. I want to share my faith. And you wait and you wait. And all of a sudden the moment's right. You're having a barbecue. Invite them over for jerk chicken. Ooh. And they ask you a question about your faith. And you're about to talk about Jesus. And their cell phone rings. Hello? And you're like, don't. What's happening, friends? See, there's something more than you can see. There's more to the reality that you can touch. It's beyond what you can understand, maybe even sometimes. You've got spiritual opposition, and the forces of darkness are trying to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Let's look at how plainly this is spelled out again in Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18. The Apostle Paul, again, one of our favorite friends, says this. He said, for we wanted to come to you, certainly, Paul's writing. I wanted to come again and again. But what happened, friends? What happened? Say it out loud with me. But Satan stopped us. He tried to block the very work of God. What does he do? He blinds the minds. He steals God's truth. He sets up traps. And he tries to block God's work. And finally, if you're taking notes, embrace this. See, Satan has plans for your life. He really does. He does too, right? You have a plan for your life. Well, so does Satan, by the way. And his plan is to destroy you. To destroy you and to take you out in everything that you love. Look at what the Word of God says again in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to do what? He's looking for someone to devour. Someone to destroy. Notice this. Check this out. They compare him to a lion, which is from the cat family, right? That's why I don't have cats. Just kidding, Jay. Satan, the evil one, is prowling around, right? Can I pick you off, Drew? Can I pick you off, Kevin, Megan, Haley, Jay? Can I pick you off today? Can I pick you and you and you? Prowling around looking for his opportunity. And some of us are unaware of what's going on around us and the attempts that are being made on your soul to try and destroy your life and everything around you and everything that you and I both hold dear and love. Understand this, friends, that he hates you with more venomous hate than you can even imagine, and he wants to devour. That's what his hatred has motivated him. His hatred drives him to devour you, to destroy your life, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your ability to have financial stewardship in your life. Everything in your life he wants to destroy. He loves divorce. He wants you to be fighting with your wife. He loves your financial bondage. He wants you to keep swiping on that credit card or whatever it is, overdraft. He wants to take you out with sin as well. And he wants to disqualify you from sharing your story about Jesus because look what you did. You don't have any right to share that story about Jesus. No one's going to take you serious. He wants to devour your kids. He loves to get them hooked on drugs and porn. Destructive sin. He wants to devour your finances with debt and financial bondage so that you can't be generous and you can't give. Then you're always fighting and worrying about money. He wants to destroy your health. He loves it when people are sick and in disease and pain. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. He loves it that you're far from God right now. He wants to do everything he can to keep you there. He hates you and he wants to take you. Friends, this is serious business. We'll get to the good part another day. What you see with the natural eyes is not all there is. There is a spirit world, friends. There is a spirit world, and there is a war going on in this spirit world between the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of Christ, the light of the world, the hope of earth, versus the kingdom of darkness. There's a spiritual battle. So what then? What do I do? How do I fight back? How do I engage in this battle? How do I, like, do I defend myself? What do we do, right? Well, let's look at the word and let's permit scripture to teach us just exactly how we engage in this battle. Again, back to Ephesians 6, where we started. Verse 11 to 18, a lengthy passage, but let me read it for you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against these schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, when you hear it, therefore, it's like stand alert and listen. It's better than those buts that I talk about sometimes. Therefore, listen up, friends. Take up the whole armor of God. See, some of us have only taken up a couple pieces maybe. But it says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, you've done everything you can to stand firm. Next slide for us. We'll continue. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And do what? Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and all supplication. To that end, keep alert. Stay alert, friends. With perseverance. Keep doing it. Don't quit. Making what? Praying, supplication for all the saints. So then now what? We're praying for one another too. So let's break this down. Maybe in English for some of us, right? How do we do spiritual battle? What do we do? We'll start at the head and we'll move to the feet. What do? We start with the helmet of salvation. You are not saved because you are good or good looking. You are not good. No one's good but God, by the way. You're not saved because you are righteous. No, not one righteous but him, right? You are saved not by your works, but only by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. That's how we're saved, right? Because he was perfect, because he sacrificed himself, because he shed his blood, because he purchased you and he saved and rescued you because of who Jesus is and what he did. See, and when you know this, your mind is protected. You have the helmet of salvation on when you know what God has done and who you are because of what he's done in your life. Now, your head, your mind, you're no longer worried. You're no longer stuck in anxiousness and depression. Why? Because you know that he's a good God who's got your back and who has saved you. And it's his right, his power, his strength. It's him. And when you know this, I got a helmet of salvation on my head. My mind is protected because I'm wearing this helmet of salvation. Someone needs to hear this tonight. You have a helmet of salvation on your head. Stop letting the devil lie to you. You also have on the breastplate of righteousness. Scripture says that your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and sometimes our heart lies to us, maybe. Your heart can lead you into unrighteousness. Your heart, your human heart. Your mind, right? Sometimes too. The breastplate of righteousness protects your deceitful heart. You are not righteous because you are good, again. Right? There's no one righteous, not even one, except for God himself. Scripture says that your best attempt at righteousness is actually compared to filthy rags. They're no good. They've been used up. They can't clean up anything. They're useless. They're garbage. That's what my righteousness is like, right? As filthy rags, right? Before God. But because he put on you the breastplate of righteousness, when he sees you, he sees the breastplate. He sees his righteousness, not yours. He doesn't see your sin and shame and brokenness, right? Just like the prodigal son in the story in Luke 15 who left home and took all of his father's money and he blew it, he spent it instead of investing it. And he woke up one day broke and in pain and smelling like pigs and living with pigs. And when he came home, what did his father do? His father put a robe around the son. Welcome home, son. Welcome home. I love you. You're mine. He was covered with an outer covering. You, friends, might feel filthy and smell like pigs and blew all your money and living on whatever. But your Father, he welcomes you home and he covers you with a robe. He has robed you with his righteousness, friends. He has robed you with his righteousness, not yours, not by your own works. And he's put a ring on your finger. He sealed you unto redemption. You have the breastplate of righteousness. When God sees you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That then when your spiritual enemy is hurling fiery darts at you and accusations at you, and you defeat them then with the shield of faith. You got the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and now you have a shield of faith. Why do you always have those negative thoughts coming into your mind? These are the fiery devil darts that's being hurled at your life and hurled at you. You're nothing. You're no good. You're a failure. You're never going to live up to all that God has for you. You could never make a difference. Especially after what you just did. See, God saw that, right? Those are fiery darts that the enemy's throwing at you, friends. Those thoughts that keep coming in. Those negativity that you keep dwelling on. It's the enemy's fiery darts. He's never going to use you. Your marriage will always be a train wreck. You'll always be broke. You'll always be sick. You're always going to be miserable. You're a nobody. Friends, someone here needs to listen tonight. These are the fiery darts of the enemy trying to take you out. But what do you have? You have a shield of faith. What do? You put up the shield of faith and you say, I do not believe this accusation from the evil one. Instead, I believe I am who Christ says I am. He says, I am blessed coming and I'm blessed going out. He says that I'm overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of the words of my testimony. He says I am good because he's good. His righteousness is my righteousness. He says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He says that God has plans to bless me and prosper me and to give me a hope and a future. He says God is working in all things to bring about good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. See, you've got to get in the word of God, friends, and memorize the promises that God has given you and has spoken over your life. Because guess what? It's your shield of faith. The word of God is what quenches the fiery darts. The shield of faith. You also have the belt of truth, which is great news because you hate to fight with your pants down, all right? You ain't going to look very good doing that. You ain't going to get very far either. It doesn't work. The belt of truth sets you free. Satan is the father of lies. He is the deceiver. And the truth buckled around your waist prepares you to run in this race, in this battle before you. And when you run this race, you run with the shoes of the gospel of peace. Your feet are planted in the presence and peace of a living God. And see, when others look at your life and they experience the peace that you're planted in, and they look at you, and how in the world are you so calm walking through that stuff that you're walking through, that sickness that you've been walking through, that marriage relationship that you've been struggling through, that trying to find a new job and finances and buy into a market that's beyond you. Whatever it is, they look at you and you're just like, I don't know, I just seem to have this supernatural peace that goes beyond my understanding, that passes beyond my abilities to understand. It's a great peace. And then it goes on to our weapon. Ooh, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Those of you who are believers. And if you don't know God's word, you cannot wield his sword. Right? You cannot. You cannot wield the sword if you don't know it, if you don't understand it. The way he wants you to wield his sword, to hold it, to hang on to it. You need to know the word. You need to lean in and learn God's word. To read it, to memorize it, to let it read you even. This rhema word, this living word. See, Jesus himself was tempted 3 different times by Satan. And how did he fight back? You might know this, but he fought back with the word of God. Three different temptations, three different times, Jesus says, it is written. It is written, devil. He quoted the word of God. He resisted the devil, and eventually the devil fled from him. And then after that, the angels came and ministered to him, refreshed him, renewed him. You fight with the sword of the Spirit, friends. See, your whole side that we just went through is covered, right? It almost feels like a hospital gown. I don't know if you've ever been in a hospital gown. Your front is covered, but your back is kind of a little exposed. Your backside is still vulnerable, maybe you might say. And why is that? I would say because you need other believers to guard your back. You need other people around you who are fighting with you. It's that simple. You need others to pray for you, to cover you with prayer, and to encourage you, and to hold you accountable even, and to correct you even, and to stand with you no matter what. You need people around you. You need brothers and sisters around you, friends. And even more, scripture also says this, you can pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Doesn't matter what time of day or where you're at, you can pray in the Spirit. Are you recognizing this? That you who are a believer and follower of Christ have access to go to the throne room of God whenever you want. To come boldly in like sons and daughters of the living God to find help in your time of need. See, the reason many people don't pray is often because we don't truly believe this is truth. And so I'm challenging you tonight, do you believe? Friends, will you believe with me? I know you can. What you see with your eyes is not all there is. Today is foundational to our understanding. I want to wrap this up for us tonight. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does, right? The weapons we fight with are not of this world. Why? Because we recognize that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities of this dark world. We understand that there's more to this world than our eyes can see. That's what we're beginning to understand right now. Because we recognize there's a reality of a spirit world. We need to embrace these two valuable thoughts. The first one we talked about is you're not alone in your battles. You are never, ever... Stop letting the devil lie to you that you're on your own. Call a friend up. Call a brother and a sister and pray with one another. Okay? Let's do it. You're not alone. If you feel very alone right now, you feel very afraid, and maybe you feel like you're facing a battle on your own that's too big to win. In this moment tonight, I'm praying that God would open your eyes to see. He would give you eyes to see the truth, that not only do you have brothers and sisters, but there's a spirit world where the heavenly powers, with the armies of Christ, and are warring against the evil, warring against dark forces that are preying on you and trying to trap you and distract you. Eyes to see the kingdom of light is doing battle against the kingdom of darkness. And the good news is this, the kingdom of light, friends, always wins. Always, even if you don't believe it, the kingdom of light is always winning. The second thing we need to embrace is this, your prayers are far more powerful than you know. There may be times when you are praying and you feel like nothing's happening, but recognize this, your prayers are far more powerful than you know. Just like when Daniel prayed and he didn't see anything happen, 21 days later, an angel appears to him and says, hey, the very first moment you prayed, God has been sending armies to do business on your behalf. Your prayers are far more powerful than you realize. As we do battle, we recognize that we don't battle with the weapons of this world, but with the weapons of the spiritual world, right, that we went through. What do we have? You have the helmet of salvation. You have the breastplate of righteousness, to be reminded. You have the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy, the evil one. You have the belt of truth. You have the shoes with the gospel of peace. You have the sword of the Spirit in your life, which is the word of God. And you can pray in the Spirit on all occasions, invoking the very power of God to do battle on your behalf. Wow, what does this all mean? I have one more slide for you to write this down. Above all else, friends, remember this. As believers, as followers of Jesus, when we fight, we do not fight for victory. We are fighting from victory. You are fighting from victory, friends. In fact, scripture says this in 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, friends. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Friends, all around the room, I want to just give you some moments to respond, and I want to pray for you. So if you would just for a moment close your eyes and bow your heads all around this room tonight, Jesus.